This morning's reading comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. That's Luke 3, reading from verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Bithynia and Trachonitis, and Licinius Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptizing of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it was written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall be become straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all mankind shall see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in the hand to clear his threshold floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And many other words John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison.
It's always a privilege to have the opportunity of sharing the word with you. And my message all the time is a very simple message, probably nothing new or nothing different. But I do pray that the Lord may add his spirit and his wisdom to the words that are spoken, and find ready hearts, for we may be challenged by what he says. As we have been reminded this morning, this is the last sermon in this series, Preparing for the Saviour. And it's been a remarkable series, a remarkable story. We started with a message, of course, of Mary receiving the fact that she was going to have a baby, and the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Of course, the miraculous birth of a virgin of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We spoke of the hurrying of the shepherds to the manger there to see the Son of God. We talked about the wise men bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Speaking of a king, a priest, and a saviour. We talked about the fact that Jesus was taken and circumcised. Then a period of time in the temple with Simeon and Anna, and the prophecy given by Simeon. Of course, because of Herod, they needed to leave and go to Egypt. On return to Nazareth, we talk about the story of Jesus in the temple, having been taken there on Passover, and there stayed while his parents returned, but yet came back. The Bible talks us about the fact that he grew in stature and wisdom with God and man. What a remarkable series of events. And I have no doubt it must have been totally confusing but awe-inspiring for Mary as she pondered all of these things that had happened so far in her life and the life of Jesus. You know, preparation in life is really important. To be prepared to what's coming and what you're going to do is really important. When we bought our house a long time ago, went through a whole lot of processes, the surveyors and the architects and the plans and the council and whatever, making sure that all was right and then it was built. When I became a teacher, I required to go to Teachers College, of which I did, and then on to university. And then when I went into the ministry, going to Bible College, Theological College, and getting myself prepared. Being prepared is really important. And so this morning, the message that we have before us, and it's the last message, is that Jesus prepares the people for the ministry of Jesus. John prepares the ministry. I'll get it right. Prepares the ministry for John, for Jesus. As I said, my message is so simple, and I'm not going to go into great details, but I could preach, I'm sure. And I'm not really a tremendous preacher, but I'm sure our pastor would be able to spend months on the passage that was read this morning. A very difficult passage, and I admire what was read. I'm going to talk just on 3 points. Good congregational preacher, I'm learning well. 3 points to make sure that I get it right. And so the 3 points are these: the man John, his message, and his role. Let's have a look at the first point, the man. John was the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. It was quite a remarkable birth. But he was born, and there he is as a baby. His name meant "The Lord is gracious," and his name was given not by his parents, but indeed by God himself. And there they are inquiring, all of those around, about this young person called John. He was a Nazareth from birth, and he lived in the desert as he grew up. This enabled him to clearly hear God's message for the people and not to be influenced by the economic or political or religious leaders of the day. And there he was, living in the desert. And I'm sure if you've been to Israel, there's plenty of desert around there. He wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his diet consisted of locusts and wild honey. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets, like Isaiah, and his message, like them, was for the people to turn away from their sin and turn back to God. And of course, true repentance is turning from sin and turning to God. And of course, John was to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah, as indicated in Luke chapter 3 and verses 4 to 6. In reading a commentary by William Barclay, I'm sure you know him, he writes as he looks at the life of John, he says this: John was a man of faith, humble, obedient, faithful to God, and fearless in his proclamation of God's message to the people. So that's just a little glimpse of this man, John the Baptist. Okay, what was his message? Well, the Bible says in Luke 3 and verse 3, he went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And here he is, arm out, just like a real good prophet and preacher. John wanted the people to turn away from their sinful past and turn fully to God. He also called them to flee from the wrath that was to come. He challenged the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of the day, talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and preached God's message of forgiveness to all, both Jews and Gentiles. John called all of the people to be prepared to meet Jesus, irrespective of their nationality, social standing, religious affiliation, gender, or political position. And you know, this message of the gospel is just as relevant today. All are invited to trust the Lord as Lord and Saviour of their life. John did not preach that you could be saved or made righteous before God by keeping the law of Moses, or being a Jew, or by your works. And as evidence of their repentance, he demanded that the people demonstrate this in the way that they lived their lives. It's a forerunner of grace, replacing law, isn't it? He told the people, as we read in verse 11 in that chapter, that they needed to share their material possessions with those that are in need. He spoke to the tax collectors also in verses 12 and 13, that they should only collect that which was due to them. And then he spoke to the Roman soldiers at that time, told them not to extort money from the people, and not accusing them falsely, and be content with what they were given in their pay. And here he is, getting that message clearly across. People from Jerusalem as well as Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and he was baptizing them in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. Apparently he had a great influence at that particular time. And if you can read or have a look at the picture, you can see the area around where he was, just north of the Dead Sea. And there he is, baptizing people in the water. When we were in Israel, as I mentioned last time I spoke, and we were taken to the place where this was, where John baptized. Whether that was true or not, who knows? But there you go. So we see what his message was, the repentance, changing a lifestyle, trusting in the Saviour to come. So what was his role? My third point. Well, firstly, John rejected the people's suggestions that he was indeed the Messiah, as indicated in verse 15 of chapter 3. He pointed and told the people that the Messiah was to come. And as we read this morning, fulfilling this particular prophecy, he was a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make path his straight. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. A crooked road shall be made straight, and rough ways smooth." and all the people will see God's salvation. He was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ who was going to come. He went on to say, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I, the straps of the sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with Holy Spirit. And I think some versions go on and say with fire. You know, John's baptism was an external ritual denoting repentance of sin, symbol by old sinful self being buried under water and then resurrected to a new relationship with God. Very difficult thinking about that. We can decide that we want to follow God, but it's really difficult, just like our New Year's resolutions. But he then went on to tell them that Christ's baptism, the one that was going to come, would include not only repentance, but receiving the Holy Spirit. Not only is Jesus able to forgive people's sins, as we look at it from this perspective, he was also able to provide the power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and to give us the power to live a godly life. How did he do that? Through his death upon a cross. Those hands and feet nailed to the cross. There he died to pay the punishment of our sin. Then he rose from the dead to be able to give us forgiveness and give us the power to live a godly life. You know, as Jesus' ministry began to take off, I guess that means that he started to do his ministry in great detail. John showed his great humility in his comments to his disciples later when he said, he, referring to Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease. The Lord's been speaking to me during the week about this. I'm conscious of the fact that though Jesus is my Lord and Saviour, there are areas in my life that I want the Holy Spirit to touch so that they may become Lord of it. May my life, may myself decrease as the Lord becomes more and more Lord of every area of my life. I want him to be able to be glorified through the things I say, the things I do, and the things I think. It was sad that John was finally imprisoned. And we know why, because of the scriptures that we read this morning. And then finally beheaded by Herod. But you know, I believe he died knowing that he had fulfilled the role that he was given to by God. And I've got a lot of verses there. Thus John prepared the way of the Lord. And we know, if we read the scriptures, and you know, and I know, that actually John baptized Jesus. And we know as he came out of the water when Jesus was baptized, Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We know that John got confused, and when he was in prison sent his disciples to speak to Jesus to make sure that he indeed was the Messiah. And I believe in the end John believed that his role had been fulfilled. So what's our role? I believe that God knew you and me before we were even born. Believe that. I believe that he saved you and me by Christ's death upon the cross. I believe that God loves you and me unconditionally. And there is nothing that the scriptures teach that will separate us from God's love. Even though we may go through horrific difficulties. And you know, he created us to bear his image and represent him in the world in which we live. I love the desire of Paul. I'll get back to that in a minute. Our mission in my church is simply this, is to know Christ fully and to make him known. To know Christ fully and to make him known. As I said, I'm a very simple guy, and our church is a very simple church, not very educated at all. Keep things simple. I believe our role and our mission statement at Campsie Congregational Church is simply that. I was reading an article during the week, and it was written by a person by Craig Hepplewhite. Don't know him, but he wrote a statement which I thought was really interesting. He wrote this: the role of the Christian is to seek God's presence, to walk before him in the fear of the Lord, and to reveal him to others. Do you like that? I think it sort of encapsulates, isn't it, all that we need to do. Well, if that's right, we need to seek his presence. Isn't it wonderful, as a Christian, that we have the privilege of spending time alone with God? Isn't it wonderful? To worship him and to listen to his voice. Isn't it wonderful? I get so excited by that. I get sort of goosebumps. The Almighty God who created this world wants us to spend time with him. I do that every day. I'm learning, like Brother Lawrence, to enjoy his presence continually. We're encouraged in one of the verses in the Bible. It says, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it most. Isn't that wonderful? And I need lots of mercy and I need lots of grace. The Bible goes on to talk about, be still and know that I am God. Paul goes on to talk about the fact, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, to be made like him in his death. What a wonderful privilege you and I have of spending time in the presence of God Almighty. Secondly, we need to walk before him in the fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord is the conviction that God exists and he rewards righteousness and punishes sin. You know, our Christian walk is one of faith and trust and obedience. We are sinful people. I'm sinful. And I realise that I need, as I am aware and made aware by the Spirit of my sinfulness, that I need to repent. I need to turn back to God. And I need to seek his help so that I may follow him obediently. Finally, we need to reveal him to others. I'm an evangelist. I could get excited about this, but I want to just leave one simple thought with you today. What a wonderful privilege we have to simply tell others about what Jesus offers to all those who put their trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the role that John played pointing to the Saviour was wonderful, and we enjoy as we read the scriptures in this. Father, we are made aware of the fact that we have a role to worship you and to praise you, to adore you, and to share the responsibility of sharing the good news with others. May we, as we go into this new week, be courageous and bold as we do this in the places that you will place us, in our homes, in our community, in our work. And for this we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. Let us praise him for all that is past. Let us trust in him for all that's to come. Amen.